Yes, yes, yes. Welcome back to another episode of the In My Own Words podcast, where the opinions are unabashed, unashamed, and unfiltered. I'm your host, Tony R. Sanders. Welcome to my YouTube viewers, my Spotify listeners, my Apple, Google Podcast, Stitcher, wherever you may be listening to this. Thank you for joining us and welcome to the podcast. I need to say Merry Christmas. This happens to be the Christmas episode. Let me get my soundboard up, man. What am I doing here? Round of applause, maybe. There we go. I just want to say last episode, I said Mariah Carey was a superstar. And then I said round of applause and failed to hit the round of applause button. So let's just start the episode off with a round of applause for Mariah Carey. I do believe she's a superstar. I do believe that. It wasn't shade. It turned out to be really funny, but I wasn't intending on it to be funny. As you can see, if you're watching this on YouTube, I got the Christmas tree set up behind me. My kids did a wonderful job. Round of applause for the kiddos. They did a wonderful job decorating the tree on their own this year. Some really cool things on it. They were nervous about it. They didn't think it turned out well, but I thought it was great. I thought they did a great job of decorating the tree. It's interesting Christmas time with my kids. Because I wonder if technology has killed Christmas. Like, I remember as a kid, my Christmas list would be this long. Like, I would need an Egyptian scroll to give you my entire Christmas list. And my kids, you know, we did give them a limit. We did say, hey, we're not going all out for Christmas this year. We are going to limit. So maybe they just follow directions real well. But their list was very, very short and basic. I feel like because of this device, I feel like because of the phone, there's not a lot that you need, right? I remember wanting the PlayStation. I remember also with the PlayStation wanting the Stretch Armstrong. I remember wanting the Power Ranger action figures. I remember wanting a Rubik's Cube. I remember wanting the Talk Boy from Home Alone. You guys remember the Talk Boy? You remember the Talk Boy? You could record your voice and immediately play it back, the voice recorder. Now, all of that is in your pocket. All of it is in your pocket. You can play Crash Bandicoot, record your voice, play with toys, watch other kids play with toys, which I still don't understand. All of that is directly in your phone. So I don't know. Maybe these kids don't have long Christmas lists these days because they have everything already, which I'm totally okay with. But maybe that's the issue, right? So maybe Christmas is not dying due to technology. Maybe these kids just always have everything. I remember broke Christmases. My kids don't remember broke Christmases. We had Christmases so broke that we didn't have a tree. We just had decorations of ribbon in form of a tree sitting in the corner of the house. It's real life. If I can find a picture, I'll put it in the YouTube video. We literally had a ribbon that we made in the shape of a Christmas tree and put little presents from the dollar store under there. I remember broke Christmases. I remember being so broke for Christmas that you had to tell your kids that you can't have anything because it's not your birthday. It's Jesus' birthday. I remember broke Christmases. You know, when you get broke, you start being creative. You start thinking of things. You know what I mean? You've been talking to Jesus a lot when you're broke, so you have to tell him a couple things like, look, we're not having Christmas this year because it ain't your birthday. It's Jesus' birthday. We don't even know if that was Jesus' birthday. But anyway, Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope you enjoy this time with your family. I hope you get everything that you want for Christmas. I don't have a wish list for Christmas at all either. I don't know if it's because I'm just used to notoriously getting bad gifts. I have a history of getting bad gifts. Not to say all of my gifts are bad. My wife got me an Apple Watch last year for Christmas, which I thought was really great. The newest Apple Watch, which I just realized I'm not wearing right now. But I did appreciate that gift. But as a kid, you know, once I got to like 13 or so, the gifts really stopped coming in the way that they used to. I remember my grandmother, she would get me and my one cousin the same gift every year. No matter what it was, we would have matching gifts. If it was a pair of pants, I would have the black sweatpants and he would have the blue sweatpants or the gray sweatpants. If it was a scarf, I would have the green scarf and he would have the black scarf. We always knew. So it wasn't even about opening the gifts at grandma's house. It was about whoever got there first. If I walked in and he was already sitting down, I said, what grandma get us? He said, a scarf. I got a black one. I said, great. That means I have a red one. It was just as simple as that. And I love my grandparents. Shout out to them for always providing things. But some of them Christmas gifts. Some of them Christmas gifts are a little tough. See, people people look at me and they say, man, you just have a wonderful family. You got a big family. Everyone lives in the city. Here's the thing. My grandparents have 65 grandchildren, at least. So when it comes to getting gifts, yeah, I'm not going to get the greatest grandparent gift of all time, right? Some people really look forward to them grandparents' gifts because, you know, grandparents, they old people, and old people got money. Old people got peppermints and money. If you don't know nothing else, know if you see an old person, they got peppermints and they got money. And they probably got butterscotch candy. But definitely peppermints and money. I ask my kids all the time, go to grandma and give me a peppermint while we're sitting in church. And it never fails. And she comes back with an abundance of peppermints. She comes back with a whole pack. They say, grandma said, just keep it. They come with a whole handful. Grandma said, just keep it. Can I have one? No. No, you can't have one. I'll still give them one. But anyway, Merry Christmas. I hope that you guys are doing well. We got a good show lined up for you today. Man, we got more clout clowns, which we'll get to. I don't want to start there. But we need to have some fun because we got some heavier stuff to talk about a little bit later. We need to have some fun, but we do need to talk about clout clowns. It's almost like there's a clout clown Olympics going on right now. It's like last week we talked about clout clowns. We talked about M and Nick Cannon and Lizzo. But this week, if this is the Olympics and that was just the opening ceremony last week, it's going up another level. So we're going to talk about Antonio Brown, which I've been trying to avoid on this podcast for a while, but now I just can't ignore it anymore. We're going to talk about the girl, what's her name? Carol Sanchez. We're going to talk about Carol Sanchez. And maybe also talk about Dion Waiters if there's time. But first and foremost, we got to talk about the legendary Eddie Murphy. Round of applause. Now, I had a choice to make with this podcast. There's been several times where I've done this podcast 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning even, turn around to edit and still have it to you guys by 8 a.m., if not earlier, every Sunday. So tonight, I was thinking about doing that just because Eddie Murphy, if you don't know, for the first time in 40 years, is returning as a host and a guest on Saturday Night Live. Now, his musical performance guest happens to be Lizzo, which I hope she does an amazing job. But I'm really wanting to see Eddie Murphy return to Saturday Night Live, where he was introduced to the world, albeit before my time. That didn't stop me, especially with the advent of YouTube, that didn't stop me from going back seeing how legendary Eddie Murphy was in his sketches on Saturday Night Live. So I've been watching the interviews. Every time Eddie opens his mouth, I want to hear about it. I've watched the interviews. I've seen him on Fallon. I've seen him on Kimmel. I've seen him on Ellen. I've seen him on Colbert. I've seen him on all of these shows. I've seen him talking with Al Roker, right? And he's talking about he may bring back Gumby. He may bring back Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. He may bring back all of his old characters from originally being on Saturday Night Live. So I want to take this time to give Eddie a salute. Round of applause to Eddie. Matter of fact, you got to give Eddie Murphy a round of applause. Eddie Murphy is a whole legend. So we got to give him his propers or propers due. Obviously, I haven't seen the show. It hasn't come on yet. Right now, it is only, see if I have my Apple Watch on, I could tell you exactly what it is. It's only 9:02, so we got another 3 hours, and I couldn't wait another 3 hours to pod. I had to get podding when the podding was good. I had to pod now. That's one thing. See, I was talking to someone this week about podcasting in my house, and I said, man, it's so much easier than doing stand-up. Not that stand-up is a lot of work, but for stand-up, I got to leave my house. And when I'm doing a podcast, I don't have to leave my house, but I do have to work around everyone's schedule. Right. So the whole time I've been trying to do this, people have been leaving, got to go here, got to do this. Things have to be done around the house. It is Christmas week. We're hosting a Christmas Eve party. There's just a lot going on. Right. And so I do have to be conscious of everyone's schedule and try to pick the perfect 1 to 2 hour window to do my podcast. And so it comes with its benefits. It comes with its advantages. It also comes with its disadvantages. But I'm happy to be podding at home. I'm happy that we're getting this out of the way now. And I'm going to be super excited to hear from Eddie Murphy, the genius, the legend, tonight. I wonder if Eddie Murphy is under a lot of pressure. Like, if I could talk to Eddie right now, I would say, Eddie, what kind of pressure do you feel when it comes to going back on Saturday Night Live? a lot of the legends don't want to continue to touch their legendary stuff. My kids were just watching a Christmas movie, Christmas with the Cranks, and it had Tim Allen in it and the lady that played his wife on Tool Time, on Home Improvement. I noticed that they never really stopped working together. Every few years, they would do something. You know, I think she's in I'll Be Home for Christmas with him as well. They'll do, what was the other? Jungle to Jungle, I think she was in with him. There's a couple of other ones, right? And then they did like two or three Christmas with the Cranks. They always continue to work together, but they still never went back and did a Home Improvement reboot, right? We hear all these rumblings about a Living Single reboot, and everybody's into it except for Queen Latifah, because Queen Latifah is at that legendary status, right? Everyone else is still a star, but they're not the superstar legendary status as Queen Latifah is. And so it's really difficult to get stars to go back and touch some of their classic things. They're talking about potentially doing a Martin reboot, but it's hard, especially now Tommy Ford has passed away. But also in addition to that, you have something that people are in love with, and they are afraid that if you come back and do it, if you don't do it the right way, if it's not, you know, specifically right, then you're going to ruin it. I think that's why we haven't gotten a new Dr. Dre album, right? That's why that the album The Chronic is never coming, right? That's why we haven't seen the reboot of Martin. We haven't seen the reboot of Living Single. But Eddie Murphy, on the other hand, he's talking about going back to stand-up. Eddie Murphy has two stand-up specials, and he's two for two. They're legendary. It would break the hearts of millions if Eddie Murphy was to go back out and put out a subpar stand-up special. But he's not afraid to go back and do his classics. He's not afraid to go right back on SNL and give you all the characters that he did before and come back with that same energy, transformed 40 years later for a Christmas episode for all of us to enjoy. I can't believe it. I love when our legends step up in that way. So shout out to Eddie Murphy. I brought up Martin, so I have to bring up this. And this isn't on my list. I do have a list, and I'm going to do my best to stick to today, but I'm not making any promises. I watched The Shop last Saturday before I did the pod. And they previewed it. They were going to have Will Smith on there, Chance the Rapper, Martin Lawrence, and who else was it? CeCe Sabathia, I think it was on there. And I was real excited, but one thing I had to figure out, one, why is Chance on there? Chance the Rapper should not be mentioned in that conversation. Now, Chance is good. Don't get me wrong. Chance is a great artist, even though his last album was trash. I've been wanting to say that for so long. I've said it privately. I've said it in group chats. I've said it in conversations. That last album was T-rash. It was trash, like Thursday. Trash. The album was trash. It wasn't a good album. Chance is 35 years old, still rapping like he's a Muppet baby. Still rapping like he is watching Saturday morning cartoons every day. This is not even what I want to talk about. Just Chance shouldn't be in that room. But I will say about this album, because he did cancel his tour saying that he wants to be with family. Artists got to stop lying to us. Artists got to stop lying to us about wanting to be with their family. I don't doubt that you want to be with your family, but as a traveling artist, I would assume you always want to be with your family. But you already had this time planned to not be with your family. So why are you actually canceling your plans? You're canceling your plans because the album was trash and you can't tour a trash album. Artists are so dishonest. This is my same issue, and I had this on my list last week and I didn't talk about it. I didn't mean to go on this tangent, but we're here now, so let's do it. Same problem I had with Future. Future's doing all of these songs about drugs and the drug culture, doing lean and all of this stuff, and popping pills, influencing a whole generation, only to say he doesn't do it. He doesn't pop pills. He doesn't do drugs. He doesn't sip lean. He just likes to sing about it and glorify it in his music. Now you're leading all these people astray. We can't count on our artists to have integrity and just be honest with us. That's why I appreciate T-Pain so much. When T-Pain canceled his tour, he just came out and was honest with us. Matter of fact, I think I have a clip for it. Let's see.
Upon myself to cancel the 1UP DLC tour because it just would have been a bad look for me and it wouldn't have been entertaining for y'all. So I'd rather just leave it for a later time. Now, let me tell you, I was advised to lie about this and say that I needed being some time, honest, or I needed some alone time or me time and some shit like that, or you know, I needed time to spend with my family or some medical family attention or something like that. Just don't make it look like we fucked up. We fucked up. I'm gonna keep it real.
It's the same every time.
I know, and most artists lie.
It's the same every time. Nicki Minaj, you're not fooling nobody. When you canceled your tour, it was because that album was not doing what you thought it was going to do, which means the ticket sales didn't do what you thought it was going to do. By the way, this doesn't make you a bad artist. It doesn't mean that you're not good at your craft. It just means that you missed, and you're allowed to miss. Chance, you're a quote-unquote new artist. This is your first album. You're allowed to miss. You missed, bro. You were so emotional because you got married, and so you wanted to make the theme music or the score to your wedding. That's cool, bro. Save that for your wife. We don't want to hear about that. And I'm tired of people saying, oh, man, soon somebody rap about loving their wife, y'all get all mad. But when they rap about degrading women and doing this and doing that, y'all cool with it. No, bro, it just didn't slap. It just wasn't good. I don't care what you sing about. If it sounds good, people are going to rock with it for better or worse. If it sounds good, people are going to rock with it for better or worse. I didn't even mean to get into this. I was trying to talk about The Shop. But what I wanted to say about The Shop was, one, who is doing the casting? Because it makes no sense to have these legends. CeCe is a legend. Will's a legend. Martin is a legend. Chance? Not so much. Like, I don't know if they were trying to pull in the younger demographic. We got to stop doing that, too. Make your show for you and for the people that you want to attract. That show would have been just fine with Will Smith and Martin on it. And the reason why I'm upset that Chance was in that room, he took airtime away from Martin. LeBron, Mav, how do you have Martin on a show and not ask him about Def Comedy Jam? He was the host. He got the whole thing started. That's where we found the AJ Jamals. That's where we found Bill Bellamy, Bernie Mac, Steve Harvey, D.L. Hughley, Cedric the Entertainer, Dave Chappelle. How do you not bring that up? How do you not ask Martin about his hit TV show, Martin? How do you have him on the show and not bring that up? Because you got Chance the Rapper sitting there talking about the album that he made for his wife but happened to share it with the world. Come on, fam. Anyway, not on my list, not even something I wanted to talk about, but I do want our artists to start having integrity. I do want them to start being honest with us and allow us the opportunity to support you in truth, right? I feel like, you know, I feel like playing the victim is actually very profitable, but also making people feel bad for you or having that underdog story is also profitable. But it takes some humility to have that underdog story. It takes humility to do what T-Pain did, to come out and say, look, this album wasn't going to sell. The tour wasn't going to sell. We messed up. We didn't market it right. We didn't promo it right. So I'm canceling. Completely understandable. I wish somebody would talk to Chance so he could do that. All right. Let me get to my list. This is a big one, man. This is a big one. Donald Trump got impeached. Now, this isn't a political podcast. I'm not a journalist. I'm not a pundit. I'm not going to break this down. But I will say the funniest thing about this impeachment is none of y'all know what impeachment means. I love people that were popping bottles, throwing parties, drinking champagne because the president got impeached. Now, I also see all the people that are completely downplaying it like it's not a deal. It may not be the biggest deal, but it is a deal. There's a reason why it's only happened to three presidents in our history. There's a reason why. So it is a deal, but it's not a big deal because it's not going to go the way that you think it should go. See, we all know how a bill gets turned into a law because Schoolhouse Rock taught us that. Where's the Schoolhouse Rock video for impeachment? You don't know. I don't know if they have one. And if they have one, let me tell you, it doesn't slap because we don't remember it. Matter of fact, let me look that up. Let's, you know, we here now. We're going to talk about this Trump impeachment thing. We here now. Let's see if there is a Schoolhouse Rock video for impeachment so we can teach y'all how impeachment goes. Let's see. Schoolhouse Rock songs. School. Ooh, Conjunction Junction slaps. Conjunction Junction, what's your function? Hey, that slaps. Okay. Schoolhouse Rock. Let's see. Impeachment. Oh, snap, they got one. Oh, no, that's not it. Three rings of government. School of grammar. They don't have it. I got to listen to this, though, just one time. Oh, freaking YouTube ad. All right, forget it. I was going to let Conjunction Junction rock. Listen, let me break it down for you. If you don't know how impeachment works, let me break it down for you. Ladies, you go through your man's phone, you find him cheating. You have all the evidence you need to prove that he's cheating. You want to kick him out. But before you can kick him out, you got to get all of his homies together, all of his best friends, present your case to them now, and have them vote. And 67% of them have to agree that you should kick him out. There you go. Done. I just explained impeachment for you in layman's terms. Now, for all of you guys watching, drop a comment in the YouTube video. Let me know how many of you think that if you caught your man cheating and 67% of his homies had to vote him out, how many of you think he'd get kicked out? None of them, right? Absolutely none of them. And look, my dogs, the people that I know, the guys that I know and I hang around, you ain't gonna need no 67% vote. 100% of them is rolling. And if one friend decides to take the middle road, like this lady in Hawaii is doing, if one friend decides to do that, you know he the one. He ain't your friend. He's Judas. He is betraying you. He wants your girl. You gotta get rid of him immediately. You gotta be like Frank Sheeran and the Irishman and start painting houses. That's the only way you can do it now. You got to get rid of this guy. But look, Trump is impeached. It is a deal. Don't let people fool you to say that it's not a deal. I just won't say it's a big deal in terms of results. I don't know what result we're actually going to see. I don't think that we're going to see him actually get removed from office. I do think there may be a little turning of the tide with the white evangelicals writing in saying that, hey, we think he should be removed. I don't think that's enough power for them to remove him from office. But I do think it's interesting that they're now speaking up saying, okay, we've had enough. We've had enough. Him grabbing women. Him grabbing women wasn't enough. All the other things that you can line up and say, that wasn't enough. But now, you know, we've got the articles of impeachment on him. Now we've had enough. So I think it's all interesting. I think it's all theater to a certain percentage, a certain point. It's all theater. It's all jockeying. My only concern is this, and I'm not educated on this, so I don't know. My only concern is, are the Democrats so focused on this that they're not focusing on making sure that we get the right candidate to go against Donald Trump? That's my only concern. Now, I've already made a bold proclamation about this. I got to stand on my word. I said that if Donald Trump gets impeached, he will also get reelected in 2020. I'm still standing on that. I'm not backing off of that. I think that when the impeachment hearings start next month or the month after, February, March, or whatever, it's going to run on so long and it's going to consume so much time that no one's going to be focusing on the Andrew Yangs of the world and the Bidens and, you know, all those people that are still running and in the race. And it still feels like other Democratic nominees or Democratic, other potential Democratic nominees for president are still jumping in. Seems like we're adding one every week. That lets me know that the field that we have now is not very strong. And I'm going to leave this alone because this is not a politics podcast or program, television show, whatever you want to call it. But I'm sticking by my bold proclamation, and you need to know how impeachment works. I just broke it down to you. You don't have to ask any more questions. Your boy got you. All right, let's talk about these clout clowns, man. Antonio Brown. The curious craze of Antonio Brown. First of all, let's just start here. There's so many reasons why I can give you a wow award. Now, for those of you who don't know, I give a wow award away to people who are just doing dumb things. They're choosing whackness over wisdom. That's what wow stands for. And Antonio Brown definitely fits into that case. I could give you a long history of Antonio Brown, but this is only an hour-long show, and I don't have time to go through all the stupidness that he's done. But most recently, he's tweeted out that he is doing away with white women in 2020. Let's break this down for a second. First of all, you don't do away with white women like you just stop eating pork. He said it like he was going on a new diet. You know, I'm gonna do keto in 2020. Nigga, you can't go away with a whole race of women just like you're dropping carbs out of your diet. It don't work like that. Now, number two, I know people are saying, oh, he's doing this as a part of his rollout for his music because he's keep using the same hashtag, no white women 2020, and he's shooting music videos now. Let me stop you right there. Just because you can run and catch a football don't mean you can make music. Matter of fact, history would tell us that you should not make music if you're good at athlete. See, God bless you with a lot, but he don't give you everything. Kobe Bryant, one of the greatest basketball players in the world, can't rap at all. Everybody can't be Shaq. Shaq can rap a little bit. And when you got Biggie on a verse, on a song, on a hook, when you got people writing for you, Shaq gonna be all right. Everybody ain't Shaq. And I would bet everything I have that Antonio Brown ain't gonna be Shaq. He needs to stop with the music and with the clownery. Here's what I don't understand. How much do you have to lose before you understand you need to just do this? Just put down your phone. Just drop your phone. People get so confused. Social media has real life consequences, but it's not real life. That's a bar. I need to tweet that. Let me tweet that. Hold on. Social media. What did I say? Social media. Hold on. This is how you know the podcast is live. I just go freestyle. It's not even pre-written, pre-recorded. Social media has real life consequences. I'm about to break this knowledge down. Somebody need to come pick up these jewels. Real life consequences, but it's not real life. Huh. Tweet. Boom. Tweet sent. Let me break that down for you. Whatever you do on social media can and will be used against you in a court of law. At any and in the court of public opinion and in the courtroom of your employer. I think we have many examples of all three. We have tweets that have sent people to jail. We have tweets that spark investigations and are tweets that are used as evidence, videos that are used as evidence in the court of law. We talked about that last week with Plain Potatoes. We've had people losing their job because of some racist, sexist, stupid things that they've said, right? We had the debacle this week, if you want to call it that, with J.K. Rowling, you know, with some tweets that she had. So there are real life consequences. But guess what? You can delete Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat, whichever other one you want to throw in there. You can delete them all and still have a life and still be connected and still talk to the people that you want to talk to and see the people that you want to see. It is possible. Matter of fact, that's the way that we should start 2020. Don't quote me on this, but I'm thinking about it for now. We should start with just a 7-day social media fast just to prove that real life is not social media. AB, you don't have to tweet everything that you think about or every stupid thing that pops in your head. Put your phone down. You don't have to text every stupid thing that pops in your head. And by the looks of it, stupid things pop in your head all the time. All the time. Matter of fact, more than most, it seems like something stupid pops in your head and automatically just jolts from your brain into your thumbs and out to the universe. You don't have to do that. You've already ruined enough. And again, I only care about this because I know, at least I think I know, he really wants to play football. And I don't think he has any other talent outside of football. I mean, the man is Booby Miles from, what's the movie, Friday Night Lights. All I know how to do is play football, right? That's him. What was that? Derek Luke played that role? He's a great actor. Derek Luke on the low, should have been Black Panther, but that's another conversation. You don't have to tweet everything. Everything is not meant for public consumption. You don't text your ex-girl and threaten her kids when she's threatening a lawsuit against you. Like, put your phone away. And it just shows me you have no one around you that loves you that will stop you from choosing whackness over wisdom. So if ain't nobody going to tell you the truth, you can always tune into the In My Own Words podcast, because I'm going to give you the truth and I'm going to give you this wow award. All right, more wow awards to come later in the show. Right now, we got to talk about a kid from Queens and the Queen. It's a kid from Queens going against the Queen of Black Media. 50 Cent is going against Oprah. Now, I can't say that it's a back and forth, because Oprah got that kind of money that she ain't got to listen to nobody and respond to nobody about nothing and still be okay. Stedman proposed to her, and she didn't respond to that, and everything is still fine. He's still living in the guest house, chilling out, relaxing, maxing, all cool, right? Everything is still good. She didn't even respond. She's rich enough to be able to do that. But it is reported that Oprah is doing a documentary on the women that accused Russell Simmons of, let's just call it, some sexual discretions. Can we call it that? The reason why I'm calling it sexual discretions is this. All the cases against Russell Simmons that were reported have been dropped. There hasn't been any further investigations. The initial investigations didn't find anything worthy of pursuing an actual case. And so everything was dropped. Everything was thrown out. At this point, he is still assumed to be innocent. Legally, that's how it's supposed to be. But see, you got this other thing, the court of public opinion. And this is where Oprah comes in. Because for years, she's been able, through media, just like a lot of other people, just like I intend to do, shape the form of public opinion based on the content she puts out into the world. And when Oprah talks, when Oprah does something, she listens, right? And so now she's doing this documentary about the accusers of Russell Simmons on his sexual indiscretions. It's the only way I can think of putting it, right? And so 50 Cent's beef is this. You got Harvey Weinstein. You got Jeffrey Epstein. You got Kevin Spacey. You have all these white males in entertainment that have not only done things, been convicted of things, some of them aren't even serving jail time, but Oprah seemingly doesn't find the time to create those documentaries. But instead, she runs right to two black men who were proven to be and should assume to be innocent unless otherwise proven guilty. Those two men being Michael Jackson and Russell Simmons. She did the Leaving Neverland documentary, which I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't watch. Wasn't interested in it. The man is dead, right? There's no form of justice that can come to the people if they were indeed violated. In addition to that, the guys that she had on there that were supposed to speak about whatever happened with Mike already spoke about it in court, saying that it didn't happen. Now they're recanting that in public opinion, saying that it did. So they already lose a lot of credibility there. And I'll be honest, I probably won't watch the one about Russell Simmons. But 50 proposes a good question. His question is, why is Oprah doing this to these black men, but not doing it to these white men who've been convicted of the same or even in some cases worse things, and they're not having a documentary about them? Surviving Jeffrey Epstein Island, I'm sure that documentary is coming. That documentary will slap Oprah. Surviving Kevin Spacey, where are those documentaries? Now, what's interesting about this is it's hard for me to side with one side or the other, because Oprah hasn't said anything. Oprah hasn't given us her perspective, why she's doing it. Maybe she has more information or different information. I don't know. But here's the thing about being black and having these superstars like Oprah. It ain't many of them. If you think about black moguls up to the billionaire status, up to that level in media, we just got Oprah. And so it's hard for me, given everything that she's done, just in form of a symbol of hope to creators that look like her or that come from situations or circumstances that she comes from, just to tear her down because what seems to be off, I'm with 50 there, it seems to be very strange. I would love to talk to Oprah and get more information about this, but I can't just immediately tear her down because it's only one Oprah. Do you get what I'm saying? It's like if we had five Oprahs and one of them did this, all right, come on, man, you cancel, fam. Like, we got to get you out of here. We can't have this no more. You tearing down these black men. It looks like you're attacking black men. We don't know, but we're going to shut you down until we figure it out. But it's only one Oprah, and we need her. It's almost like, does someone's good outweigh their bad? You know what I mean? Like, Lance Armstrong did a lot of good, but he also did a lot of bad. Yes, he cheated, but he saved a lot of lives with the Live Strong wristbands and all the money that he raised winning those Tour de France's. You know what I mean? It's like the Dave Chappelle joke about Bill Cosby. He rapes, but he saves. And he saves more than he rapes. Like, and I know that's a crazy sensitive subject, right? But it's just one that you have to wrestle with when someone has done so much good the way that Oprah has, and they do some things that appear to be bad. We don't know yet because we haven't heard her side. What do you do with that? That's a struggle that I think that we find out, that we find a lot when it comes to superstars. The same thing was happening with R. Kelly. We all knew that he did wrong, but the good that he's done for us, the way that he made us feel when Step in the Name of Love, when that came on and everybody was doing, you know, Chicago Stepping and all of that, when Remix to Ignition was out, you know what I mean? When 12 Play was popping, Chocolate Factory and all of this stuff, the good that that music did for us slowed us down on getting him out of here faster than we should have. And a thing like one of these documentaries turned it around. You see what I'm saying? The power of media is very powerful, but also the power that people are ascertained through that media by doing good in your lives, that has an impact on you too. It's always interesting to see what celebrities have impacts on what people, right? I look at my dad. My dad is like the man, right? His work ethic, everything is incredible. My dad is the man. And I never looked at him in the light of like being a young man or a kid looking up to certain celebrities and wanting to do that. Now, my dad has always been in a singing group. He loves to sing. He loves to dance. He doesn't talk in a high-pitched voice, but he sings in a high-pitched voice. He's going to be singing tomorrow at the Christmas program at our church with one of his groups. But ever since he was a kid, he was in a group, right? And I never connected the dots until the other day I took him to get, trying to say it without giving all of his business, I took him to get adult pictures where they send the camera in to photograph things, if you're picking up what I'm putting down. Yeah. And we're sitting there in the office as a bunch of men over 40 and 50 in there, you know, ready to get violated. They don't want to be there. And he's sitting there, and my dad's not very expressive with his emotions or his feelings, but he just goes, and so I look, and he does it again. I said, "My dad, what's going on, Dad?" He said, "Man, they're giving me the same thing they gave Michael Jackson when he killed himself." So what? What? He automatically identified with one of his heroes, Michael Jackson. Like, man, this it's me and Mike right now, man. He went through this and he didn't make it out of this, man. I gotta make it. He said, "I ain't scared though." I said, "You're not scared?" "Nah, you can't go in there scared. You just gotta go in there and come out." That was my dad's advice. And that's when I knew my dad really looked up to Michael Jackson. And so I'm sure it's hard for him, just like it's hard for me and some of these celebrities, to separate the good from the bad. I still watch The Cosby Show. I still watch Bill Cosby stand up. It doesn't make it less funny because he did some horrible things. When I see that, I'm not just thinking about Heathcliff Huxtable, right? Well, I'm not just thinking about Bill Cosby, the comedian. I'm thinking about where I was in life and what impact this had on me. So going back to this 50 and Oprah thing, I agree with 50. This does look fishy. We do need to call some attention to this. We do need to step up and say something. We didn't say something soon enough with Mike. Now she's coming after Russell Simmons. We got to talk about it. But I'm also not willing to just immediately cancel Oprah because she's done so much good in the world. She's done so much good in the world. All right, let's talk about one more thing and then we can get out of here. Carol Sanchez, man. This is an interesting one. So I'm a father of four, right? Three being girls. And one of the things about being a father of girls is that you're always worried that the world is going to take advantage of them. Especially being a man, you know how men and specifically boys who are boys mentally, right? Not necessarily an age thing. They try to take advantage of women. These men do exist, and it happens in many different ways, including kidnapping and sex trafficking. One of my biggest fears, right? I always want to know where my daughters are, who they're with, how long they're going to be there, where they're leaving, and if the plans change, you let me know. I got the opportunity to serve with an organization here in Indianapolis called the Hope Center. The Hope Center helps women coming out of sex trafficking to help them try to reintegrate themselves back into normal daily lives. I went to go visit their site. I helped them set up some things for some events that they had coming up, just volunteer my time, something that I like to do a couple times a year, volunteer for organizations. But when I tell you, it was one of the hardest service projects I ever done, thinking about how the little girls and the women, some of them were women, a lot of them were over 18, how these women were impacted by somebody trying to take advantage of them. So to see the news story this week that Carol Sanchez in, what was it, Brooklyn, I believe, New York, to see the video images of this little girl, this 16-year-old girl, being snatched away from her mother, kidnapped right in front of her eyes to presumably never be seen again, that was heartbreaking. It was crushing. I was devastated. It was one of my worst nightmares as a father come true until I saw this. Let's go to NBC for this report.
No audio and the images are grainy, but the terror of the moment is unmistakable. Two men jump out of a car in the Bronx and grab a 16-year-old as she walked down the sidewalk next to her mother. The video released by police shows the late night struggle. Her mother tried to fight off the men, according to police, but was pushed to the ground, the car racing off with the young girl inside. Tonight, a turn few saw coming. Police sources tell NBC News they are investigating the possibility it was all staged. The 16-year-old may have orchestrated her own kidnapping. But this morning, there were still fears she was abducted.
An
Amber Alert issued. The neighborhood
pictures,
shaken.
I walk here all the time.
Alerted the
and
country.
The fact that she got taken away right in front of her mother is something that's like, oh my God, so scary. And I was getting messages from my family.
They found the girl.
But then late this afternoon, someone spotted walking down the street.
She was by herself. She crossed the road. She went directly to the driver's side window of the police vehicle. And she was trembling and shaking. You could see she was really shooken up.
The police called the family. They found her. A mother's worst nightmare is over. While there's a chance her daughter's legal troubles are only just beginning.
Now, first of all, let's do this. Let me break this down. So, word on the street is her family was going to be moving back to Honduras, which is where they're originally from, but she found his boyfriend. And so her and her boyfriend devised a plan where she could stay here in the United States with him, and they could live their lives together. And not go home with mama. Now, let me be fully transparent and honest. As a kid growing up, I don't know why. I can't explain it to you. My kids do it now. when we are out somewhere, we don't like going home. My kids ask me all the time, where are we going? I say home. They say, why? It's because that's where all our stuff is. We got to go home because that's where all of our stuff is, right? And there's been some times where we've been places and we've hid or done something silly to make sure that we didn't go home. You ever had the situation when you're at grandma's house and all your cousins is over there and the party is jumping and your parents say, come on, we got to go. And you just start doing wild stuff. You got to go to the bathroom all of a sudden. You sit in the bathroom for 30 minutes and your legs get numb. You getting up off the toilet looking like Leonardo DiCaprio in Wolf of Wall Street, legs falling asleep just because you're trying to stay at grandma's house. We've come up with some intricate schemes. Matter of fact, my sister was the number one person to go to for the intricate scheme of how to get left somewhere. If you didn't want to go home, you could talk to my sister. And it worked for her several times. She was notorious about leaving something somewhere. Matter of fact, she played so long about this that it still happens to her to this day. There's not a time where she comes to my house and she don't leave something at my house and have to turn around and come back and get it. And that was the story of our lives growing up. We get halfway down the road and she said, Dad, I left my hand at the house, and my dad would turn around and take her back just so she wouldn't go home. But never, never in our wildest dreams did we think to have one of our friends kidnap us. See, this is the thing about black parents. When you play with black parents will threaten to kill you themselves. You ain't got to worry about getting killed by nobody else. They will kill you. The boy, if you have something happen to you, you mess around and die, I'm going to kill you. Mama, how you gonna kill me if I'm already, boy, I will kill you. You didn't have to worry about that with mama. I knew that if I pulled a stunt like that with my mama, I ain't have to worry about not going home. I was never going home again. I was gonna go home to visit Jesus. I was gonna go home. Talking about coming up missing, I was gonna be missing for real. How dare this little girl put her mama through that hurt, that trauma, and that pain over some rusty-lipped, knucklehead, crackhead old boy? Now, I don't know the boy. Let me say that. I just called him all kind of names. I don't know the boy. He could be a good guy. But he can't be a good guy. He can't be a guy of high integrity and high character if he's willing to orchestrate your own kidnapping. What the Tupac Shakur is this? You can't orchestrate your own disappearance so you can get away from traveling back home to where you're from. Like, kids these days, what is going on? Like, what are you thinking about when you put these plans together? Now, I don't want to throw it on all kids. I don't want to say that this is a regular occurrence. I don't think this is something that every kid would do. But the fact that this kid went so far, what were you thinking long-term impact-wise? Like, what were you thinking your mom was going to do in a week, in a month, in a year, 6 years from now, they haven't seen your daughter? You think he's just going to pop back up? And everything is going to be good. You're going to be like the prodigal son. They're going to be happy to see you return back to the house. No. Why do you think, and why do you think this person that you're trying so hard to stay in America for is a good person if they're willing to go along with this stupid plan? They're willing to go along with this. So, Carol Sanchez, I just have one thing to say to you. Don't ever put your mama through that type of heartache and pain again. You stay at home because you are under a lot of covering and protection when you're home. I just had this conversation with a family member earlier this week. Don't be so quick to lose what you got at home and leave your house. Growing up and being grown ain't all it's cracked up to be. Believe me, I know. There's a lot going on when it comes to paying your own bills, being your own man, having your own house. You know, everybody got their own house, got their own bills too, right? Are you aware of that? Yeah, I got my own house. Yeah, you got a mortgage or a rent payment coming in your name too. And that don't stop no matter what happens. So enjoy the time you at home. Enjoy the covering that you have with your parents. And then when it's time, you move forward and you move out and do it the right way. Not orchestrating your own kidnap. That shows me right there, you're not mature enough to get out. My daughter is 13, about to be 14. Man, I wish she would. I go from having 4 kids to 3 kids real fast. She can hear me right now, too. She's right upstairs. Try it if you want to. Try it if you want to. Doggone it. Kidnap yourself. I'll show you kidnapping. You ever had your parents threaten you with some stuff? Don't make no... I'll show you kidnapping. I kidnapped that foot off your leg. What? You gonna do what? I take your arm off and beat you with it. My mama told me that once. Mama, you gonna do what? You gonna take my arm off and beat me? Yeah, I'll take your arm off and beat you with it and put it back on. Mama, no, you're not. How do you even know you could do that to say that? Look at my daughter texting me now, talking about wow. Come here, Yanni. Ain't no wow. This is important. This is important stuff. This is something that we need to talk about more with our families, more with our daughters. We need to let them know how important it is. See, they don't see life as precious as we do because we've seen so many different things, right? We've seen so many people have plans, have dreams, have goals, have aspirations. Come on in here. Yeah, come on in here. We've seen so many people have goals and dreams and aspirations of what they want to do and have all of that sucked away just from making a bad decision. Just from one simple, solid bad decision. Come here. Let's talk. Come on now. Come on. You waste the time now. We're running out of film. Running out of film now. Let's talk. Yeah, it's okay. Come on. Have a seat. Have a seat now. I'm going to tell you a story. It's a girl, a 16-year-old girl named Carol Sanchez. Okay? Her family is from Honduras. They didn't want to go home. You know how y'all complain every time it's time to go home? I'm going to go home. Why we got to go home? And then what do I say when y'all say that? Why we got to go home? We live there. I pay the mortgage there every month. We going home, right? She didn't want to go home so bad that her boyfriend, her old loose tooth, chip tooth, crackhead, dry lip boyfriend, egghead, no job having, stupid boyfriend, decided that together they were going to kidnap her, stage a fake kidnapping so she would not have to go back to Honduras so they could stay in America. What'd you think about that?
How you kidnap yourself?
The boyfriend pulled up in a car, knocked the mama down. Knocked the mama down. Grabbed a girl, sped off with her in the car.
I don't like it. No, I'm like,
you're not on the show. You're too young. We're talking to the 13-year-old. What do you think?
I think that's stupid.
I just want to let you know this. This is what black people do too. We see black kids on the news while and we get our kids together and we shut them down right along with it. If you ever in your black life decide to kidnap yourself, you ain't got to worry about coming home. You ain't going to have no home to come home to. I'm going to change all the locks and act like I don't even know you. You're going to be smooth out. All right. Yeah. You kidnapped, right? No, you gone. You missing. Get missing. Get missing. All right. That's all I want to say. I got to end the podcast now. All right. See y'all. Now I'm busy. I got to end the podcast. The moral of the story is this. Merry Christmas, everybody. That's the moral of the story. The moral of the story is you need to watch over your family, protect your family, love your family. If you love people, you don't let them do stupid stuff like this. You don't let them do stupid stuff like what AB is doing, right? And you don't let them throw a celebration party because Trump got impeached because he's still in office. He's still bigger and badder than ever. He's still doing what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. And it's going to take a lot more than that. What you should be doing is focusing on this next election. And you should be focusing on time with family and friends because it's Christmas time. And this has been another episode of the In My Own Words podcast. My opinions, unabashed, unfiltered, and unashamed. I will see you guys next time. Follow me on YouTube. YouTube.com/Tony R. Sanders. You can follow me on Instagram @Tony R. Sanders and on Twitter as well @Tony R. Sanders. Until next time, good people, I'll see you later. Peace.